morning. Good morning and welcome to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley. Our guests today are Corey Noble, head coach of Walden Grove Red Wolves, and Jacob Allen, head coach of Sarita Mustangs football teams. We've got a couple of young men in the studio, Gage Avalos, who's a quarterback for Walden Grove, and William Twaich, who is a linebacker from Sarita. We'll talk to them in just a minute. These gentlemen are here because we have the Kickoff Classic coming up next Thursday. It is the Coaches for Charity Kickoff Classic, which happens on Thursday, August 28th at 7 o'clock at Walden Grove. We're celebrating lots of good things. We're celebrating the 15th Kickoff Classic and good sportsmanship and lots of wonderful things happening in high schools across the Valley as we begin another year of academics and sports in our high schools, elementary schools, and junior highs. So welcome, gentlemen. Thank you for being here on The Morning Voice.
Thanks for having us.
We're going to just get started with the two of the coaches here first, and we're in our 15th year. You've been in the event before with being a coach for a long time. So tell us a little bit, Corey, about why it's important or special for your team to move your game to Thursday and be the featured game for Coaches for Charity Kickoff Classic.
Yeah, you know, I think it's just a great opportunity to highlight so many of these young men who, you know, are putting so much time and commitment and, you know, really doing the things and being about the things that are right about high school athletics and high school and, you know, really just devoting that time. And, you know, we've got some great young men in both our programs and in our community. And it's just awesome to be able to showcase them and, you know, really kick the season off with a great game.
That's great. Coach Allen, to that, what Corey just said, this game is more than just about football, and football is more than just about winning and losing and playing games. It's about teamwork, school spirit, scholarship. How are these values reflected in your program?
Yeah, so we're also excited to play in this game. I coached in it as an assistant at Ironwood Ridge, I think, two times when we played Mountain View and CDO. So it's special kicking off on Thursday, and I think it's really going to highlight our community. When there's only two high schools in town in Sahuarita, when both schools get to play each other week one and opening Thursday game, it just puts a really unique spotlight on our whole town. And we think that we have a lot of athletics buy-in with wrestling, football, softball, baseball. It's just a good stage for our community. And I think me and Coach Noble know each other well. And, you know, we've talked the brand of football that we both want to bring to the table. Week one is just a disciplined football game that our town can be proud of.
So rivalry games are important. As we build the Coaches for Charity a legacy 15 years in now, we try to find rivalry games that are exciting, that will bring the fans out. What's special about the rivalry between Sarita and Walden Grove?
You know, I think it's just kind of what Jake was talking about. It's a small town feel. You know, I mean, it's getting bigger and bigger, but it's kind of that small town community, that kind of single community for the most part, that these kids, for the most part, a lot of them, whether they go to Walden Grove or Sarita, they've all grown up together. They've all played against each other and with each other in youth sports for a lot of them since they're 5, 6, 7 years old. And, you know, it's a friendly rivalry. And, you know, I think we have an opportunity to really make that rivalry mean something more than, you know, kind of it has, because the game hasn't happened very many times in the past, and kind of turn it into this really, you know, like he said, kind of a spotlight for the community and a great thing for the town and the community to rally around. But it's an opportunity, just like I said, for these kids to be able to do this in front of a huge crowd, in front of their whole town, and against their friends and against guys that they've played with and against, and all of that for the last however many years.
Right. So, Jake, the emotions will run high at a game like this, since because of what Corey just said, that so many kids and families have known each other for many, many years and so forth. You expect really good fan support on Thursday, but also really good sportsmanship as well, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the talk around town is there going to be enough seating? And that's always a good thing. You know, we want as many people there from our community and from the Tucson area that want to come watch a great game on a Thursday before everyone else kicks off on Friday.
Right.
It's just a good opportunity to come watch the first football game of the year. And, Yeah, sportsmanship. I think it starts with both of our administrations, our principals, mm-hmm. us communicating as a team. Me and Coach Noble respect each other. We're friends. We talk about how we can lead by example in big rivalry games like this. And you know, the kids will follow suit, and they understand that what's at stake as far as putting on the best face possible for our community.
Well, let's go to the teams. And Coach Allen of Sarita, you've been there for a while. And what do you expect out of your team this year? You've seen them practicing now, and they have a long legacy. And what do you look for as successes in your program this season?
Yeah, I think last year we had a great season. But, you know, the mark in high school football is making the state playoffs and then seeing what you can do from there. We missed the playoffs last year. We had a 7-3 record. We felt like
should have,
but you know, there's a lot of teams. It's bloated now in 4A. There's about 65 mm-hmm. teams and only 16 get in the playoffs.
Right.
So we feel like we have a much harder schedule that starts with these guys. Mm-hmm. They're a perennial powerhouse. They're a team that, you know, making the playoffs is the standard for them. So we feel like we added some teams to our schedule that will beef up our strength of schedule, hopefully allow us to get in, be in the driver's seat to get into the playoffs if we have a successful season.
We're going to have the Red Cross on here in about 45 minutes, but we had them on last week, and we were talking about heat and practicing out in the heat, 110 degree heat, and it's hotter and blazes out there, and you got to get your kids in condition, but you also got to be respectful of what the body can take. So what have you been doing? You practice early in the morning, late at night? How do you beat the heat down in Sarita?
Me and Coach Noble have talked a lot about this topic because we're like 3 miles away from each other.
Right.
So whatever weather they're getting, we're getting.
Right.
It's the hardest thing in Tucson as a coach right now, because the whole point of August is to get your kids safely acclimated to
right.
playing in the heat.
Right.
But what is the line of safely practicing when it's 107 or 103 with humidity? And
you're coming out of an air-conditioned car, an air-conditioned building, and you
right.
walk out of that blazing heat. How do
so
you adjust?
Yeah. It's finding that balance, because if you're too cautious in practice, I think you cause a safety issue on Friday nights
right.
when we're playing no matter what, and it's a much higher level of exertion.
Yeah.
So we're constantly struggling with. We haven't gone in the morning because that's another – there's a lot of logistics with that.
Right.
So
right.
later in the evening, if yeah. we have to delay the start of practice, then, you know, yeah. we're going to get
lightning,
a little later.
A little bit of lightning, a little bit of thunder, yeah. yeah.
Seems well, like when you yeah. don't get heat
you get the monsoon.
It's because there's lightning in a monsoon.
That's when you go into the gym and just
share it with the band and volleyball
yeah.
and, yes.
practice walking through the plays, yeah.
yeah.
So, Corey, this is a great thing for Walden Grove. You guys have had a great legacy yourself. You're a good team. And what are you expecting for the Red Wolves this season?
Yeah, you know, we're very excited about this year's group. We, you know, had the best season in school history mm-hmm. last year. We got our first playoff win, you know, since 2011 when the school opened, and, you know, had a really, really great season. You know, I think we played really tough against our best opponents. You know, didn't end up where we wanted to be. You know, we lost in the second round, but, great okay. season. And we're really looking to build off of that. We graduated a lot of seniors, but we're bringing back, you know, 15 starters from last year's team. We had a lot of young guys play a lot of really, really good football for us last year. So we're looking to build on that success that we had last year. And, you know, all the coach speak stuff, you know, we're looking to
right.
go 1-0 each week and that, but you know, it's the truth. We're looking to just build on successful days and that, and you know, it starts with winning our region, you know,
right.
like we want to win our region. We, you know, want to play the best football that we can. I think we got a pretty good schedule.
Mm-hmm.
There's some very high-end teams on there. So compete at the highest level that we can, win our region, and then get in the state playoffs and see where we go.
How many times do you have to go to Phoenix?
So we go to Phoenix week 2.
Week 2.
And we go to Casa Grande week 4. And then we go to...
That's
yeah.
a good game. That Casa Grande
yeah.
game is a good game.
So
yeah.
so we go to Phoenix only once during the regular
okay.
season this year.
And do you go to Phoenix?
We don't. We will next year.
Next
so
year.
So they flip the home and away.
Flops,
so
yeah.
this year we
You're
don't
lucky.
Have to
leave. Yeah, yeah,
we're going
yeah.
to Nogales. I think that's our furthest trip this year. So
yeah.
we'll save
yeah.
some gas money for the district.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's
we're going to spend it all.
Yeah.
So we're going to Douglas, Casa Grande, and Phoenix.
Wow. Yeah. Those are good fun road trips,
yeah.
though.
No, it'd be good. You know, yeah. and inevitably, if you're going to
the
be,
bus ride somewhere, a lot
you're
better
be
if you
playing,
win. Yeah.
Yes, sir, they are. You know, inevitably, if you're going to be trying to play late in November and that, like, you're going to have to go to Phoenix to do it. So, we definitely like to use it and get our kids kind of accustomed to what our game days are going to look like. And, you know, I'm sure they don't mind getting out of school in the middle of the day so that we can try and miss the traffic and,
there you go.
Do that. I'm very, very overcautious about not being late to those games. You know, too many bad experiences.
Speaking of rivalries, you have a little connection with Sarita. You're the former head coach, was someone in your close knit family, and so you have a good relationship with the schools that you guys are good friends, and it's kind of neat, isn't it, to have a positivity?
No, absolutely. I grew up most of my life in Sarita, and I graduated from Sarita High School. I coached at Sarita High School before Walden Grove opened, and then moved over to Walden Grove. So, you know, I've been the bad guy on both sides. I've been the enemy on both sides. You know, the opponent of it.
Right.
And Jake and I have known each other for a good while. You know, we both drive quite a ways to get down to our schools. We live about 3 minutes from each other, I think, up not in Sarita. So, you know, he and I have known each other for a long time. And, I've been in Sarita for a long time and I've seen the community really grow.
I've seen it
explode, what I mean, from one stoplight in the town when I grew up down there to now. You know, 30,000+ people, and that it's a amazing community with amazing people and amazing young men, a great school district, and we're really excited to
shout out to Manny, your superintendent's been very supportive.
He's literally the best.
Dr. V's the best.
Randy Graff over at the Green Valley Sarita Chamber of Commerce has been very supportive, helping out with some of the stuff we're going to give to the boys, and it's just been really exciting down and to be down there talking with the folks about your mayor. Tom's a good friend of mine, and I imagine he'll be at the game. I haven't pinned him down yet, but I imagine he'll be at the game. We'll have to drag him down to the sidelines and make him feel special. If you're listening, Tom, hi, Tom, how you doing? Hey, let's come back. When we come back, we're going to talk to a couple of young men who are on your teams who are representing the players, and we'll talk a little bit more about the Coaches for Charity Kickoff Classic at Walden Grove with Coach Allen and Coach Noble. This is The Morning Voice on KVOI. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. We're talking about high school football. The kickoff to high school football starts this Thursday, coming Thursday the 28th at Walden Grove High School down in Sarita. It'll be the featured spotlight game of the Coaches for Charity Kickoff Classic. It'll be on Thursday, August 28th, 7 p.m. at Walden Grove. If you haven't been to the school, what a neat school tucked away in the pecan groves there. Very, very nice. And I was down looking it over the other day, and there should be a full house, I think. So,
absolutely.
The head coaches are with us. Corey Noble, head coach of Walden Grove, and Jake Allen, head coach of Sarita Mustangs. And they've got a couple young men with them representing their teams. Let's start with you, Corey, to tell us who you got here and introduce your quarterback to us.
Yeah, I got our starting quarterback, Gage Avalos. He's a junior for us this year. He's this is third year in the program. He's a great young man. He's also a starting pitcher for us on the baseball team. He's wrestled. He's played basketball. He's a multi-sport athlete. Great athlete. Great young man. Great student. He's a dual threat quarterback. He's really going to make a lot of plays and, really be a huge weapon for us this year.
Gage, I asked the coaches to introduce the two of you because I know that it's hard to talk real positive about yourself unless you're Muhammad Ali or someone like that who's not afraid to say how great they are. But what's it feel like being the quarterback of a major high school program in the state of Arizona and you get the chance to lead the team? How do you feel about that?
It feels amazing to be just have the opportunity to be the quarterback for the team and lead them and just take all the guys in and just do what I can for the team. And I've been dreaming about this forever, and I finally get the opportunity my junior year. And I just hope to make the most out of it and just make as much memories for my guys.
Well, congratulations to you for making the team and being the quarterback. And you and William know it go back quite a ways. You know, known each other as we're talking about youth football and youth sports and just knowing each other. What's it like to kind of temper those emotions as you play against your friends on the other side of the line?
It's definitely crazy to think about just being like on their side my whole life until high school. And it's going to be definitely a lot of emotion. It's going to be really fun to play against this guy right here. He's great what he does. I've known him wrestling. We go way back, and it's going to be fun to finally meet him on the football field and give it our all against each other.
He's a linebacker. You're a quarterback. So that kind of means that someone's going to be chasing someone, or someone's going to be dunking over the top of somebody else. It's going to be interesting. We'll be watching that that rivalry on the field as it plays out. Jake, you've got a young man here who is a nice young man. Tell us a little bit about William.
Yeah, William Twaits, he's a running back, linebacker for us. He's a senior. These guys are both very similar, because I think this is what our community produces, is leaders, young men that take academics seriously, play multiple sports, challenge themselves. So Will, same thing. He's a two-sport athlete. He's a great wrestler. We both have outstanding wrestling programs at our school as well that are really kind of standard setters for athletics. And Will was a two-way starter last year as a junior. That's going to continue this year as a senior. He's put on a lot of weight and speed in the offseason just through dedication and hard work. So he had great results on the field last year. We're expecting those plus more this year. He's stepped into some leadership roles on our team, been a lot more vocal in helping the coaches get the messaging to the guys that, you know, we need week to week. So Will's a big part of the success that we've had recently.
So I'm just going to ask you, you're about 9 feet tall and about 4 feet wide. You've bulked up during the summer, haven't you?
Yes, sir. I put on about 20 pounds. I went from about 170 to 190.
That's great. How tall are you?
6'1", 6'2".
Yeah, you're perfect for a linebacker. I mean, you're at the right weight and the right speed and everything. That's going to be great. So you're a senior, and you've been doing this for a while. What's it feel like to start your senior year in high school and be a leader on the team and run out there and see what you can do this season?
I'm super grateful. I mean, like, you know, if you would have told me my freshman year that my senior year I was going to be on a talk show and a morning show, I would have told you you're nuts and insane. But, you know, I'm happy to be here. I'm grateful for a good team, compete against great teams, you know, Walden, Micah, and I'm really happy.
Great.
Really
great.
Excited.
I'm going to pin you both down and have you come up with one word. If you could describe your team, all the guys that you play with, the cheer squads that are helping you, the bands, the whole experience that you have, if you could think of one word that would describe what it's like to walk out there on Thursday night and start this season off, what word would you say collectively explains to the world what your team represents? What would you say?
I'd say grit.
Grit.
Yes.
Great.
Our team is built a lot around that word.
Okay.
I believe in it.
That's great. Just do your job, do it well, and do it every single time, 100%.
That's exactly
right?
It. Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay. Gage, how about you? What one word would describe Walden Grove?
One word that would describe Walden Grove, I feel, would be probably on the mental side. It would be mental, because if we all keep our heads in the right space and work together, we'll get what we need done and just keep our emotions to ourselves and just
right.
Do what we do best.
Do they allow ties in high school football? Is there ties in high school football? Is there a playoff at the, I mean, is there a tiebreaker at the end if you're down to the wire? Do they go into a fifth quarter and do a tiebreaker then?
Yeah.
Just like they do in college.
There's an overtime.
Yeah, it's
overtime.
Very similar to college overtime.
Yeah. So someone's going to win, because one of the two teams is going to win. What if you know, I don't want to, what are you going to say if you win, and what are you going to say if you don't win? What kind of a sportsman are you going to be? If you win, what are you going to say to Gage? If Gage's team wins, well, what are you going to say to, what they take to? So I'm trying to bring out the sportsmanship. What are you going to do?
I'm going to say good game, and I'm going to wish him luck for the rest of the season.
And then you're going to win every other game after that if you lose. Yeah, right.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. But it's all about sportsmanship, and you're put everything into it when you can, but also realize that someone's going to have to lose, and hopefully it's not you. Someone's going to. How about you? What are you going to say to Will when you win or if you lose? What are you going to say?
I would say either way, I'd be like, good game, you played your heart out. Good luck the rest of the season. Just do what you do best and help your team out the best way you can.
Great. We had our coaches say something nice about you. We'll start with you, Gage. Tell me something about Coach Noble that you think makes him an interesting coach and a good guy to be around, and what makes him a positive influence in your life.
Noble is truly amazing. He's took me in since eighth grade. He's always been there, had my back, like, ever since. He's helped me whenever I needed help. Like, he's a great coach. He helps everyone. He brings everyone in. He makes sure everyone's attitudes are up. He it comes with all the coaches too. He brought some good coaches in, and he's a great coach. He just helps in any way he can and gets us where we need to be every day, day in, day out. Make sure we're all disciplined every day in, day out.
Right.
And he's a great coach.
Thank you so much. And well, what about Jake? What do you think about Coach Allen, and what's he done for you?
I kind of see Coach Allen as like my savior, because like the first 2 years I was at Saudi, it was, I mean, double can tell you how that went. And like I'm super grateful that he came in. At first I was a little scared because he looked so much like my old coach,
right?
A little shorter, and it kind of like, you know, I was like, oh, I don't know. But I mean, you know, he instilled a great offense, got an amazing staff that I'm super grateful to have. I mean, our defensive coordinator, Coach Class, like that guy's like a film magnet. He watches so much film. I don't even understand. And I'm super grateful. I'm super happy for this opportunity, and I'm just amazing.
Well, you guys are wonderful representatives of your teams. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll just finish up with one more segment, talk about the game and talk about the rivalry and talk about how important it is to have football be one of those things that helps lead young people into a life of service and leadership and mentorship and good academic learning and so forth, all the things that you can get from team sports. And I'm a big football fan, so I think football leads us down that right direction. We're talking about Coaches for Charity Kickoff Classic, which will be August 28th, Thursday, August 28th, 7 p.m. at Walden Grove High School in Sarita. The Sarita Mustangs against the Walden Grove Red Wolves. We hope you come to the game. It should be an exciting game. We hope all the TV stations are there, and it should be something exciting for everyone to see. We'll be back after the break with a little bit more on the Coaches for Charity Kickoff Classic. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 a.m. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley. This is Success, where we talk about success stories on Friday morning on The Morning Voice. We have five hosts. We have Lydia on Monday talking about rainmakers and community activities. We have Ted Maxwell on Tuesdays talking about civic engagement. We have Grant Kruger on Wednesday, food for thought and restaurants and politics. On Thursday, we have Tom Moulton talking about Southern Arizona attractions and Visit Tucson. And on Fridays, I talk about business success and organizational success in the first hour, and we talk about wonder, the good things going on at the University of Arizona, in the second hour. This morning, we're talking about the Coaches for Charity Kickoff Classic, which takes place Thursday, August 28th, 7 p.m. at Walden Grove High School in Sarita. It'll be a rivalry matchup between the Walden Grove Red Wolves and the Sarita Mustangs. The two head coaches are with us. We have Corey Noble, who is the head coach of Walden Grove. Good morning again, Corey.
Good morning.
And we have Jake Allen, who is the head coach of the Sarita Mustangs. Good morning again to you.
Good morning.
So this, we talked earlier about how football, the game isn't just about football. It's about bringing the community together. It's about all sorts of things for the community, the excitement, the buildup of the fall season. And, you know, we're going to have a season change here. It'll go from 118 degrees about November 1st. We might be in the 70, 80 degree range, and we'll have to start wearing coats to school and those kinds of things. So it's kind of a mark of a change of season. But football is more than just a game for a couple of kids running around and winning a game and that kind of stuff. Football has a lifelong influence on people. Corey, could you talk a little bit about why this isn't just football, and why you spend so much time and devote your time to coaching and so forth? It's more than just football. It's about lots of other things, right?
Absolutely. I think, you know, who I am today, I think, can be accredited to football and mm-hmm. the effect that it had on me. Most, or a lot of the positive role models, positive male mentor mm-hmm. that I had in my life were my high school football coaches and right. my high school coaches. Burton Tingle, Rodney Day were, you know, two of the biggest influences, I think, in my life. And much of the, you know, I say that we want to win. We love to compete for those 3 hours on a Friday night. We want to win. But football is so much more than that. I think it's the best avenue to teach hard work, teamwork, sacrifice, and service. So many amazing things that are so much more important than a football game on a Friday night or a Thursday night. And I don't think there's a better venue, a better avenue to teach those life lessons. I think certainly it's the thing that connected the most with me when I was young about so many of those aspects for. And like I said, I owe so much to the game of football and to my football coaches for who I am. It's something that's really, really important to me to get back.
And Jake, I think you'd probably echo what he said and how important that is. Can you talk a little bit about the signature coach? We give out an award to each school, and you have a person that's well-deserving of an honor. He's of Pima County Sports Hall of Famer, right? Or going to be, yeah. Talk a little bit about your honoree for Thursday night, who you guys are going to honor.
Yeah, our softball coach, Chris Fanning, he's I mean, when you see 650 career wins with one single high school program, that's you think it's a typo. He was our first ever softball coach at SHS, and the level that he's gotten that program to, and they're consistently there every year. The amount of wins, the respect that our softball program has. Right. Just when you talk about Sawarita softball, everyone knows that that's a top-notch program. And him and his brother Skeets, who are just a big influence on our campus. Mm-hmm. They're
wonderful people. Yes.
As soon as I got to SHS, you know, it was like the Fanning brothers, Paul Vasquez. These are the people that are kind of the standard bearers for what we do around here. So I just asked a lot of questions of them, and they've been great mentors, and I've learned a lot from them.
That's great. And Corey, who are you honoring on Thursday night?
Yeah, our signature coach is our head cross country and track and field coach, Marcos Blanco. He's been there at Walden Grove since 2012, the second year the school was open. He's also a Sarita person. He grew up in Sarita. He graduated from Sarita High School. And he's been, like I said, he's been our track coach, our cross country coach since 2012. You know, he's coached more than 1,500 student athletes at Walden Grove in his time there. He's made a lasting impact on those kids, both on the track and field teams, which are, you know, with football, usually our two biggest teams, as well as cross country. And then he's in our PE department since 2012. He's been the department head. You know, he has his hands on more athletes than anyone else at Walden Grove through the weights and conditioning and sports conditioning programs that he heads up and runs, as well as through track and field and cross country. He's just, you know, he's been there for a long time. He has been there, and you know, kids know they can go to him. Kids know he's going to make them better, and he cares. And you know, he's just, Walden Grove wouldn't be the school it is without Marcos.
That's great. So we got two really good representatives of your schools to as mentors and coaches and people who have given these young men a good launch. So Gage, you're going to be running around with that football in your hand. Are you excited?
Yes, I'm very excited to be running around, of course, is running away from this guy. It's going to be a fun experience for sure.
Let's see if you can connect on a long fly on the third play of the game, and see if you can make a touchdown on the third play of the game.
Don't give away the secrets.
So what are you expecting to do in the future? Once you finish up in a couple of years at Walden Grove, do you want to play sports in college somewhere?
In the future, I actually want to go to college for baseball and continue my career in baseball. I'm very open to football scholarships as well. Yeah. I'll just take whenever I can get.
Become friends with Chip Hale right away.
Sir.
We'd love to have you playing at that level. Yeah,
yes, he's a heck of a pitcher.
Yeah, that's great. Are you righty or lefty?
I'm a righty, sir.
Okay, good. We need that. And Will, what about you? What do you plan on doing? And then after you graduate here this coming spring, you'll be follow through with Sarita. What do you plan on doing with your life?
I plan on attending the United States Naval Academy.
Well, thank you for your service in advance. That'll be fantastic.
Yeah, no, I'm going through my application right now, and got good chances of getting in. That's what I've wanted to do for a long time.
Do you want to play football at the Naval Academy?
If I get the opportunity to, that would be amazing. Like, I might walk on. Yeah. But, of course, I would.
You're not going to have to walk on. You're going to have such a fantastic season that they're going to just offer you right there and then. And they'll take you as a cadet, but they'll also take you as a linebacker.
That would be amazing. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, good luck to both of you, and good luck in the season. And, again, thanks to you for your service in advance. We really appreciate it. And coaches, thank you for being here this morning, and thank you for your enthusiasm for the Coaches for Charity Kickoff Classic. It's happening on Thursday, August 28th at 7 o'clock at Walden Grove. Corey, you're bringing in some bleachers and some parking headaches, but you expect a full house, right?
Absolutely. It's going to be a fantastic event. It's going to be, you know, we're really expecting a amazing crowd from the town and from the community. I know I've got a lot of phone calls and text messages and emails from people not in Sarita that are wanting to be there for the game too.
You know, they want to spy is what they want to do.
Yeah, we're you know, we're excited.
Scouting.
To welcome
I guess it's
as many,
called scouting. Yeah,
yeah, we're excited to welcome as many people as possible for, you know, a great night of football and, you know, a little cooler weather, and you know it's going to be good weather.
So an exciting week of football coming up in the next few days as we lead up to Thursday. It's going to be kind of fun, isn't it?
It is, and it, you know, Coach Noble can speak to this. Like they put out your schedule. You know, we've known about this game for probably 6-7 months now, and that moment that we saw, we're playing week one. You know, in this game, It's been a gift, I think, probably to both our programs, because it's an awesome offseason motivator when that's week one. It's going to benefit both of us for the rest of the year, no matter how the results of this game go, because I think both teams have, you know, there's nothing more serious than trying to prepare in the spring and the dog days of summer. It's a lot easier when, you know, everyone knows what's at stake week one. So we've probably both had a great offseason, and that 6 months flew by, and now,
here we go. We're
ready to
let's play ball. Yeah,
let's get this game played. Yeah. Let's have fun, and then move on, and let that monkey off our shoulders of all the anticipation of it.
Well, we look forward to seeing you there on Thursday, and I want to thank you both for the wonderful job you do with the young men that are in your charge. We appreciate the dedication and the enthusiasm that you bring forth. It's good to see young guys like you taking the helm of leadership and demonstrating what's the good things about being in high school and so forth, and keeping those young men focused on something that's going to be powerful in their life and is powerful in their life. So thank you so much for that. Well, again, Coaches for Charity Kickoff Classic. Thank you to Jake Allen from the Sarita Mustangs and Corey Noble from the Walden Grove Red Wolves. Thank you, Gage. Thank you, Will. Good luck to you both, and we look forward to seeing you all on Thursday night at the Coaches for Charity Kickoff Classic, 7 p.m. on Thursday at Walden Grove. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM. We'll be back with Thumbs Alexander and the Red Cross coming up after the break. Talking about The Morning Voice, nothing like a morning voice to greet us at 7:49 on a Friday morning. Ed Alexander, good morning to you, Ed.
Dr. Ackerley, good morning, sir. How you doing?
Great to hear your voice. You know, they say you retire, but you never really do. Here you are spending so much time as a community volunteer leader with the American Red Cross Southern Arizona chapter. Thank you for all you do for our community and for the Red Cross. We appreciate what you do now that you're no longer sitting over there where Matt's sitting right now. So
I know. Keeps me busy. Keeps me going, man. And I enjoy it immensely. Thanks for having us.
We had your gal from Phoenix last week talking about heat in football. We've been talking about football this morning, but we've got something.
Bring on the football.
Amen.
Let's go.
I'm all in. I'm all in.
Yeah.
So you've got a month of blood. Well, we need blood donations every single day of the year. I mean, it's something that's life-saving, and we need to do that all the time. But you've focused on something important for the month of Hispanic Heritage Month in September, and the American Red Cross of Southern Arizona. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Okay, well, as you say, it's been a long, hot summer. Devastating natural disasters like the massive flooding, the forest fires everywhere. Couple that with the usual summer slowdown, people on vacation, they're not even going outdoors at all. The dog days of summer, and so there's always a need. We need blood. We get, you know, we donate blood every two minutes. We need somebody get some blood, and it's the one thing I can't buy at Costco or on Amazon. You know, we need to get it to the hospitals, and everybody needs it. So nationally, the American Red Cross provides about 40% of the nation's blood supply, but in Southern Arizona, it's 90% of the blood that we send to the hospitals. So yes, that's through all the way from Yuma over to New Mexico. And so it breaks down that a third of the population is Hispanic, of course, in Arizona. 60% of the Latinos have type O blood, the most universal and the most needed in hospitals, but only 1% or 10 out of 1,000 will donate blood. So there's really a need at all time. And we're trying to reach out to the Hispanic community and say, okay, bring your friends. You know, don't, this is something you can do for yourself, for Nana and everybody else. And beginning September 15th through October 15th is Hispanic Heritage Month. And we're reaching out to ask them to step up and donate blood. It's our Los Donantes, the donors campaign that we started here in Arizona and New Mexico. So we're just saying, hey, don't be afraid. It's easy. It's quick. It's painless. And boy, you've got the blood that everybody needs. So come on out, you know.
And, you know, this is one of those things. You know, you don't think about blood, you know, every once in a while you do. But, boy, when you're in the hospital and the docs come in and say, we got to do some things here, and then that blood becomes liquid gold. It's just so important in your own personal life. The moment you need it, it becomes important to you. And so there's people in hospitals all over southern Arizona and through the state of Arizona that are right there right now and are battling lots of different things. And this is the one thing that we as citizens, and we can vote, and we can do lots of things. We can give blood, and it's one of the most important things we can do.
And if I can jump in there, Ed, and add, it's, as Mr. Alexander said, it is super easy. They got the greatest people there, and they will make this thing just fly through. So it's an hour of your time. They'll give you punch and cookies afterwards, and you'll do something really good that helps a lot of other people that you'll never even meet.
Yeah, that's great. So, Ed, where can people go? Obviously, if you're interested in giving blood, that's, we have blood drives and blood mobiles and so forth. But where can they go on a, just a daily basis to help out and give blood?
It's very simple. Either go to redcrossblood.org and you put in your zip code and you find one near you. There might be a blood drive at the church or at the bank or at your place of work, someplace near you, or at one of our fixed sites, and you find one and find a time and do it. Or you can download our free blood app off the App Store or the Google Store. And it's very simple. You do the same thing, put in your zip code and you're off and ready to go. When it's time, they'll ask you a bunch of questions that they ask everybody the same questions. And you're good. And like Matt said, not only you get the juice and the cookies and all the good stuff, but during Hispanic Heritage Month, we're having a special limited edition Los Donantes t-shirts. They're really pretty. They're really colorful and they're really fun. And you can't get them like, you know, you can't get them in Chicago. You can only get them here. So, so you put in Los Donantes in the code. And when you donate, you'll get one of these really cool, t-shirts. So we're
going to encourage everybody that's listening to consider and think about the possibility of giving blood during the next 30, 45 days and help out where you can. And as you say, Red Cross provides 90% of the blood to the hospitals in Tucson. And God forbid you need some blood because of some accident or some ailment that you have. You're going to be thankful that somebody stepped up and donated some blood. So reach out and do that if you can. And if you can't, be a good citizen and offer to take somebody to get give some blood and be their support and go with them. If you personally can't do it, that doesn't mean you can't get involved and be part of the solution to helping all of us in the community. So, Ed, you're a great volunteer. What have you been doing with yourself? Just working for the Red Cross?
That's it. Yeah, a lot of that. And, you know, a nice vacation back up in Montana again, where it was nice and cool this summer. Yeah. And a couple of guys that you might know are working on a documentary of a video documentary of the music of Tucson, the bands of Tucson in the 70s and 80s.
Very cool.
We're just getting started, but it could be very exciting. So, yeah,
that's great. Well, thank you so much, Ed, for checking in with us. And we'll keep mentioning the Los Donantes, the Hispanic heritage. See if we can get our Los Amigos de los Hispano population in to give us some blood. So,
thank you.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you soon. That's Ed Alexander, a volunteer with the American Red Cross Southern Arizona. And we'll be back after the break with Wonder, where we talk about the good things going
going on at the University of Arizona. This is KVOI 1030 AM, and you're listening to The Morning Voice. We'll be back after the break. Good morning and welcome to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley. On Fridays, we talk about the good things happening at the University of Arizona, and we call it Wonder. We just had some young men in from high school football. That means fall is coming. University of Arizona starts classes on Monday, the 25th. So we are back in the throes of academic fun things happening at the University of Arizona. Wonder is sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue and Hughes Federal Credit Union. We welcome Micah Lunsford, who is the program director of the College of Humanities Seminars Program at the University of Arizona. Welcome back to The Morning Voice.
Thank you very much, Ed.
Great to have you here. And speaking of going back to school, we're going to have some humanities courses that are available to the general public, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But can you give us, Micah, a little understanding of what the Humanities Seminars Program is and its mission at the University of Arizona?
Yeah, so the Humanities Seminars Program has been around for 40-plus years, and its mission is to feature the world-class faculty at the University of Arizona and make that accessible, that high-quality teaching accessible to the community, to the public. So anyone who has a love of learning is invited to join us and take courses with faculty and just explore the world.
Yeah, when we went through COVID-19, we had to adjust to the Zoom classes and do things a little bit differently, but we're back in the classroom and back in person and experiencing the rich academic experience with humanities.
Yes, it's exciting to be on campus, especially as all the activity is beginning at the beginning of the year. We are based out of the Poetry Center, so our home on campus is in the Poetry Center. But the good news is the pandemic did force us to innovate and has brought us online. So you can join us from anywhere in the world via Zoom. All of our courses are accessible in that way.
That's great. So what makes the humanities program a little different from a traditional university course that I teach at the Eller College or that I teach in SBS, where I teach students 16 weeks, 32 classes, and give them tests and finals and presentations and all that? What is this program? How does it differ for the community?
Yeah. In exciting ways. First of all, there's no tests or homework. There's no prerequisite. Everybody is welcome, and you don't have to be an expert or a specialist in the subject. You don't have to have taken the range of courses to get to a course, you know, all the prerequisites that a normal course of study would have. Our classes are designed that the only requirement is curiosity and the love of learning. And our professors are amazing at bringing complex ideas, subjects, to somebody who's not a specialist and mm-hmm. just really opening up the world for them.
That's a really a unique way to look at learning, lifelong learning, and keep coming back. And we can't learn it all in one 4-year degree or just in our life experience, so it's good to come back. So the fall semester begins September 2nd for the Humanities Project. That's just a couple of weeks away, right after the regular academic semester starts. Can you give us we're going to talk in depth after the break about some of the specific classes that are going to be held, but just a general, what's the overall, if you were kind of given an overall brush of what's happening this particular season, can you give us a couple of highlights?
Yeah. We're excited about starting in just a few weeks. It's coming quickly. And we offer 12 courses this fall, starting in September and going through the beginning of December. The courses range from 4 weeks long, one class per week, to 10 or 12 weeks long with one class per week. So you can kind of gauge how much of a commitment you're doing. And we have a variety of topics to explore. It's hard, you know, as I start reading the list, I get excited and I want to go for all of them. But just picking the two starting classes, the very first day of our fall semester, might give a little bit of a sense of the diversity of topic. We have cosmic chemistry from the Big Bang to You with Professor Chris Impey.
Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah, he
absolutely
is
amazing. He's truly been on The Morning Voice, yeah. One of my favorite presenters at the U of A. He's worldwide famous.
Yeah. Yes, world-class talent and just a great teacher. I mean, he's a university distinguished professor. That's one of the highest honors the university can bestow. And then the other class, so that's science and astronomy, the Big Bang to You, how elements engage from the creation of the
universe to our dinner table and how we prepare meals. And then the other one is Love Conquers All, Reading Desire in Ancient Roman Literature with Professor Sarah McCallum. So we're going from classical Roman antiquity, the concept of love and desire and how it shapes human experience. And then in the same day doing the Big Bang and chemistry at the same time.
That's great. And so, as you say, you may not know anything about the classics or something, or you may not know anything about astronomy or just a very surface thing, but that's what this is designed for you to come and kind of, you know, sample the chocolate box and take a bite out of a couple things that maybe you haven't tried before. And that's what this is all about, right?
Absolutely. No specialized knowledge needed. You don't have to be a scientist. You don't have to be a historian to understand this. You have world-class experts guiding your journey of exploration through the U of A faculty, and we have some incredible people. So,
our guest this morning on Wonder on the Morning Voice is Micah Lunsford. He's the program director out of the College of Humanities. The Humanities Seminars program is starting September 2nd at the University of Arizona. Great opportunity for you to get a little knowledge and use the world-class university that sits right in our own backyard and come down and experience some of those important topics and great professors that will be engaged. So, Micah, who typically participates in the program? Do you find it attracts lifelong learners, retirees, professionals, young people, a mix? Who's the typical audience?
Yeah, it's really a mix. I mean, we have people from every walk of life and background. I would say the majority of our program does include folks maybe who are older and have a wealth of their lived experience, so 50 plus. But we also have working professionals, younger folks. We've had a grandparent and grandchild take a class together. Mm. It's really accessible. So, you know, we welcome all. And it's also a mixture of all the people who are local, like, myself, a native Tucsonan who's been here a long time, people who are just arriving to the community, and those who connect with us online and may be based somewhere else.
Right. What's the classroom experience like? You know, for some people who haven't been at a university setting before, it might be a little intimidating. There's a couple of things that, you know, seem daunting. Just going to a U of A football game and finding parking seems to be daunting for many people. But, you know, finding a parking spot, getting to the Poetry Center, wherever the class is going to be held, and going into a university classroom, that's a little bit daunting for some people. Can you reassure them that that's an easy thing to once you make it, it's not that big of a deal?
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It can be daunting, but I guess our commitment is being there for every student. So we have a small team of staff who are there for every student, make sure all the kinks are worked out, every question is answered. You mentioned parking. That's obviously a bit of a barrier if you're coming to campus sometimes. The Poetry Center is located right next to a garage that the university operates, and we have detailed instructions and make it simple, and we even help out when people have any questions or issues dealing with that logistic. Our goal is to really remove all of those barriers as much as possible so that the real magic can happen, which is the intersection between this wonderful talent and teaching that the faculty bring and this amazing experience and depth of perspective that our audience community.
And I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver here. And Jenny, if you're listening from parking and transportation, I don't want to commit them to something that they can't do. But typically, if somebody has a walking problem or has a distance away from a building and they need some extra help, you can call parking and transportation. And they do have golf carts, and they can make arrangements to bring, if it's needed, to bring people, depending on what time it is and so forth. So that's another option for them, that your people can help direct them if they need a little extra assistance getting to the classroom, right?
Yeah, the parking office is very helpful, and they care about accessibility as well. And we're literally, 50 steps from a great parking,
right,
including accessibility options.
Right, great. That's fantastic. Okay, if I am interested in being part of the Humanities Seminar Program, do I need to prepare? Do I need to go to Walmart and get some pencils and a notebook? Do I need to get a backpack? Do I need to read my textbook in advance? Do I? How are they just show up and we get started?
Yeah, it's basically the latter. We show up and we get started. There's really no homework or requirements. That said, the faculty usually assign reading or materials that are meant to deepen your understanding of the topic, give you a baseline to prepare for the lecture. And most of our students enjoy diving into those materials. But no, you don't have to go down and get your pencil box ready and all your notebooks and everything. So it's very easy.
That's great. Well, these classes start on September 2nd. When we come back after the break, we'll kind of go in depth a little bit on some of the instructors and some of the other classes, the 12 that are offered starting on the 12th. You've got a couple starred there that we're going to talk about and talk about how easy it is to get onto campus and get engaged in learning and lifelong learning, and what a great, they say that they can take away your health, they can take away your money, they can take away your house, they can take away even your spouse and kids can be taken away from you. They can never take away your education. And lifelong learning is a really positive, powerful thing. It's good for health, mental health, and physical health to get out and do something positive with your life. So we highly encourage you to get involved. Our guest this morning on Wonder is Micah Lunsford. He's the program director of the College of Humanities Seminar Program, which begins September 2nd here at the University of Arizona. We'll be back with more about humanities after a quick break. Our sponsors for Wonder are Hughes Federal Credit Union and Caruso's Italian Restaurant on historic 4th Avenue. And this is The Morning Voice. Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Voice. My name is Dr. Ed Ackerley, and this is Wonder, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. Our guest is Micah Lunsford, who is the program director of the College of Humanities Seminars Program, which starts September 2nd at the University of Arizona. On Fridays, we talk about the good things happening at the U of A, and we call it Wonder. And Wonder is sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant and historic 4th Avenue. Andy Allen, Motzkin and her group do a great job down there. And Hughes Federal Credit Union, one of our good friends in the community, good friend of the Neely family, too. They've been, they're wonderful people.
Indeed.
So, yeah. Well, we talked about the humanities program and what's going on there. Can we talk, Micah, a little bit about, in a fast-paced world, I'm looking at my computer right now. My hand is on my phone. We were just talking about you being in a cabin out in the middle of nowhere and me being up at White Stallion Ranch and kind of going off the grid for a while. We got a pretty high-paced lifestyle that we live, fast-paced, and we're out there running around like crazy people all the time. Why do humanities still matter?
That's a great question, and I think it matters immensely in this moment of fast-paced change and societal upheaval. The humanities invite us to pause and reflect on the deeper questions of life, the biggest questions humans have asked. We go back and we think about the human story and experience, the values, meaning, how it's been interpreted through various cultures and times. And we gain insight about how we come to this place and how the change has happened. But also, we can imagine the future. We can see how this change will affect real people and lives. And because we can imagine and envision that, we can engage it.
And how do you see these seminars enriching not only just individual participants, but, you know, for me, running for mayor for a while, I always look at Tucson as kind of the broad picture. What can we do to help make Tucson a better place? How does the Humanities Seminar help in that broader scope of enriching the community?
Yeah. Humanities Seminars program is designed to be a sort of welcome mat to the university. It's a connection point, a bridge between the community of Tucson and the university here. It's I think, impact can be how the very mixed and diverse set of community participants who come together and share ideas with world-class faculty at the university can make connections in the classroom, and then that ripples out of the classroom off campus and goes into the community. It strengthens our connection, our social fabric, but it also creates just various exciting and inspiring things, conversations, book clubs, travel groups. Right. That just emerge naturally from it.
Right. That to me, it really enriches and to give something else to talk about other than just the normal weather and, what we saw on TV.
Yeah.
And in politics, which just kind of seems to invade our lives every single day. It's nice to talk about something else every once in a while. So let's talk a little bit about some of the guys you have starred there. You've talked about Chris Impey. That's the one I'm going to wave a flag for and say, if you haven't heard him talk, what an amazing experience that will be. But let's talk about a couple of the other classes and some of the inspiring teachers that you have there.
Yeah, so our fall course schedule has 12 courses. All of them are available on campus in the Poetry Center Rubel Room. That's our home classroom. So you can come down and we can be in the classroom together. But they're also all available online, so you can really connect wherever you are, whether you're in Tucson or not, whether you can come to campus or not. We invite you to participate, and that is a real two-way communication. You know, you can talk from online into the room, and the professor can really respond directly to your question. In terms of the actual 12 courses, it's really hard to pick a few because they're all very exciting. We have a great lineup of faculty. Chris Impey is just one of three university distinguished professors we have coming up this fall. Our topics range from philosophy of existentialism to the historical epoch of the Great Depression, the factors that created it, and the whole historical kind of rippling out from it. Pre-modern architecture, pilgrimage, gender relationships in the pre-modern world, like medieval period, and the fallout from recent Supreme Court decisions. So everything from medieval history to American history to philosophy to religion to Chinese poetry, and then as something as current and of the moment as current Supreme Court decisions and where we're going from here in our country.
So a taste for everybody. Find something. You know what? I often talk to my students at the other college about doing something that they've never done before, not because they want to, because it's good for them. And it's kind of like eat your broccoli and eat your Brussels sprouts. I know you'd rather have French fries and chicken McNuggets, but try something different and see if you like it. And this gives people an opportunity to explore some things that maybe they haven't thought about before, and give them an opportunity to do that. So if someone's on the fence about whether or not they should come down and be part of this, what would you say to encourage them to come and give the Humanities Seminar program a try?
I would reiterate what you just said. You know, pick a topic that sparks your interest. I mean, the requirement here is the love of learning and curiosity. And just know that you'll be entering a welcoming space where it's not about proving that you're the smartest. It's about asking questions and having conversations. There's no prerequisites. You don't have to be a specialist or an expert. Just bring your own experience of life and your own perspective, and that mixing with other people is just a magical moment, I think. It really is filled with wonder as we explore the world together. And, there's no grades, no homework, no tests. The full schedule is up on our website at hsp.arizona.edu. And I've heard many people say who are new, who come, you know, I wasn't sure about this. I was going to give it a try, but I was a little worried I might not fit in or whatever. And they left feeling like I found my people here. And this is a exciting community and an exciting journey to be a part of.
So that's really a good, important point. And they are listed, obviously, on the Humanities website. And a lot of e-blasts have gone out promoting what's happening. But what if I'm a person that likes to talk to people? Can they call your office and say, hey, can you walk me through these 12 courses, and I'll tell you what I like, and could you help me match, and a little more personal service instead of just the, maybe the informality of signing up online. Now, some people love to do that, but there are lots of other people who like to go to a bank and actually talk to somebody in person. So,
absolutely. We have a small team, but we're here. We have an actual phone number. So give us a call at 520-621-2492 or give us an email at hspstaff@arizona.edu. We're on the other end. We're excited to answer and personally walk you through any questions or concerns you have. We are a small team, so give us a moment. If you don't reach us, you know, we can call you back. We try to be, we're a resource for our local community.
Yeah. Our guest this morning is Micah Lunsford. He's the program director of the College of Humanities, Humanities Seminars Program, starting September 2nd on the campus of the beautiful University of Arizona. You know, one of our sponsors here for the Wonder Program is Caruso's Italian Restaurant on historic 4th Avenue. I just want to give you a gift certificate to take your family down to enjoy some of their wonderful Italian food. They're great supporters. 93 years have been engaged with the university over many, many years. And maybe the classics would be a good fit for get some Italian food and then go do the classics
ancient
as well.
Roman literature. Yeah.
You're part of Wonder, and Wonder is about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. What is one thing that you think is full of wonder on campus?
That's a really hard question to answer because there's so much exciting things happening on campus. But I guess my regular and daily dose of wonder comes right from the classroom and in the Humanities Seminars program. It's that interaction between people of all different backgrounds, all different walks of life and experiences, and the faculty just, you know, really exploring the universe and human history and culture and literature. It is a really exciting and full thing, and it really sparks my sense of wonder, and I see it on the faces of those who participate.
That's great. And when they finish their classes, they feel like they've learned something that's meaningful. They got world-class teachers teaching them, and this is what wonder is all about, discovering the great things going on at the University of Arizona. And come experience that yourself and sign up for a class. Step out of your comfort zone. Sign up for a class. Bring a friend and go down and enjoy something that maybe you wouldn't have thought of before. So we want to thank you, Micah Lunsford. Thank you for being here this morning on Wonder. Micah is the program director of the College of Humanities Humanities Seminars Program starting September 2nd. Get online and sign up or give them a call and see if they can help you walk through what would be the best match for you. And you might see me at the Chris Impey class. I just think that's he's a wonderful, wonderful man. And God, just talking about the stuff he talks about just blows me away. We'll be back after the break with the second half of Wonder with a discussion of Alpha Centauri. Wonder is sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant and Hughes Federal Credit Union. And you are listening to The Morning Voice. Thank you, Micah, for being here.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley. On Fridays, we talk about the good things happening at the University of Arizona, and we call this Wonder, sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant on historic 4th Avenue and Hughes Federal Credit Union. Our guest for Wonder is Dr. Kevin Wagner. He is the NASA Hubble Sagan Fellow and Assistant Research Professor at Stewart Observatory at the University of Arizona. Good morning, Dr. Wagner.
Good morning, Dr. Ackerley.
So, two things. Point of personal privilege, I always tell people like I'm really smart that every NASA major program in the history of NASA has had a University of Arizona component to it.
So is that right?
Yeah, and we've even directed obviously the Mars mission and several missions were directed by the U of A, but every single NASA major mission out of NASA in its 70-year history or whatever it is has had a University of Arizona connection. And I think it's the only university that can say that. So that's pretty powerful. And the second thing, you're a Sagan fellow. I assume that's Carl Sagan. Is that what is that?
Yes.
And so people ask me what my favorite book is. I say the Bible. The second favorite book is, sorry, Bill, Creating Magic, which I wrote. And my third favorite book is Cosmos by Carl Sagan. It was a textbook out of the 80s and 90s that he wrote. It's kind of a description of the universe and not. So,
oh, yeah. The TV series was a large part of why I got into astronomy.
Amazing, wasn't it? Totally amazing. So anyways, you're a doctor, you're an astronomer, you teach researchers how to research, and you get a chance to look up into the sky and see some things. And so first off, where is Alpha Centauri located in the night sky, and how far away is it from Earth?
Well, unfortunately for us in Arizona, we can't see it. It's in the southern hemisphere. Mm-hmm. So if you were in the southern hemisphere and looking up, it would be among the brightest stars in the sky. It's just about 4 light years from Earth, so it's the closest star system to Earth. It's made up of 2 approximately sun-like stars and then a dwarf star called Proxima that orbits them.
So when you say closest, it's a relative thing, right? It's a long ways away, isn't it? In the metrics of the universe, it's right in our own backyard, but in the metrics of human from here to Broadway and Alvernon, it is a long, long ways away, right? Takes 4 years to get there from them.
Right. I don't remember the exact conversion, but 4 light years is a lot of miles.
Yeah. So we're talking a long distance away. So you are part of the 2019 discovery of candidate planet C1 around Alpha Centauri A and the Very Large Telescope and the James Webb Space Telescope instrument revealed S1 in 2024. Can you walk us through the journey of this discovery and how you found this planet C1 and the S1 and all that good stuff?
Sure. So it starts off with kind of a rather unique partnership between a philanthropic foundation and a public university, the European Southern Observatory. Alpha Centauri is the closest star to us. And what we did was take one of the biggest telescopes on Earth and point it at one of the brightest stars in the sky for as long as they would let us.
Right.
This took some input of money from the private foundation to upgrade the instrument and then the observatory to actually let us do this, at the time, kind of crazy-seeming experiment. And then I was the lucky one to get to process the data, one of the lucky ones. There were a number of us working on it. And at some point, we got to the point where we were seeing signals in the data. Of course, we try to do tests on them, see which ones are more reputable than others, which ones we can make go away with different systematic models, that sort of thing. And this one, C1, which stands for Candidate 1, really just kind of passed all of our tests. So in 2019, we were left with three possibilities. Either this is a planet around Alpha Centauri, which is the most exciting possibility, so the one that we try not to get our hopes up for. And the other two are, it could, at the time, we thought it could have been a disk of dust around the star also. Alpha Cen A and B, the binary, are quite eccentric. So if there's dust around Alpha Cen A, it would also be eccentric, excited by the binary, and just peeking out on one side of the star and maybe mimicking what a planet would look like. We've since ruled that explanation out with Webb. And the third possibility that we put forward just to kind of cover our bases is that this could be a new type of noise feature in the data that we just hadn't seen before because we hadn't pointed the biggest telescope in the world at the brightest star for that long before.
So if it is a planet and it has a potential planet, it might have the mass of a planet like Saturn and orbit about 2 astronomical units from Alpha Centauri A. So what it is, it's in the habitability zone. So what would that mean? You know, we think of rocky planets like the Earth to be in the Goldilocks zone of just the right size, the right place, and the right distance from the star and so forth. What would it be like to have a gas giant be in that habitable zone, and what would that mean for life and things of that nature?
Right. So the habitable zone is really defined in terms of a rocky planet. It's the range around a star in which liquid water could exist on the surface of an Earth-like planet.
Which is needed for life, and that's the one thing that we have determined, that you got to have water in order for life to grow and be.
So this planet itself we wouldn't expect to be habitable, although there are ideas from Carl Sagan and others of life that might exist in the clouds of giant planets. But life as we know it would more likely exist around on one of the moons around the planet. So Jupiter and Saturn and our own solar system have rich systems of moons. Some of them even are so big that if they orbited the sun instead of Jupiter or Saturn, we would call them planets.
Right.
Ganymede and Titan are
as big as the Earth, almost
bigger than Mercury.
Yeah, so. Right. Yeah, and so they're their own planetary system in a way. Yeah.
Right, they're worlds in their own right. So if this planet's real, I believe the chances are quite high, probably more likely than not, that it does have moons. And then those moons could be potentially habitable.
So that's that would be a big discovery to see something that close to us with habitable planets circulating. That's a very interesting thing. Our guest for a wonder talking about the good things going on at the U of A is Dr. Kevin Wagner, the NASA Hubble Sagan Fellow and Assistant Research Professor at the Stewart Observatory at the University of Arizona. So when you look at these things through the Webb telescope or the Very Large Array, and you're getting this chance to look at them because everybody wants to look someplace with the telescopes because it's everybody wants to, all astronomers all around the world all want some time on the telescope. So first you got to carve out your time and get that and have it for a long enough time that you can actually see some data. What are some things that you see in the data that make you hopeful that exploration of stars like Alpha Centauri that are close to us, but the systems that are maybe a little bit further away, being able to, again, it seems like month after month they're discovering something new in these places, and it's all a function of being able to see them through these different kinds of telescopes. So what does that feel like, be part of that process of discovery of things that no one's ever seen before?
Oh, it's fun. Like you said, it's a process of discovery and a process of exploration, and it's not like we're getting in ships and going across the ocean and having that really full experience. We're experiencing it through computer screens. So it feels a bit removed, but also just exciting and groundbreaking at the same time. Kind of hard to believe sometimes that I'm looking at the images, the deepest images of the habitable zone of the closest star. It's a fun place to work.
And so that in and of itself is interesting, because what you're looking at, even the sun, the photons that come and hit the Earth today, took 8 minutes to get here from the sun. So once they leave the sun's surface and they travel that short distance between the sun and the Earth, which for humans, that's a very long distance, but in the scope of the universe, it's just a blink. That took 8 minutes to get here. You looking at Alpha Centauri and what's around it, you're actually, it's by definition, looking back in time a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe not too far, because it's pretty close. But if a star is 13 billion light years away, you're looking way back in time. And that system may not even be there anymore. It may be gone, because you're looking at something 13 billion years later. So how do you process in your own mind? You said that cosmos was kind of a thing that got you going in astronomy. How do you process these unfathomable things that is hard to wrap your brain around just as a normal human, to think about these distances, these times, and this space-time continuum, and how that all comes about? How do you see that?
I don't think about it too much, to be honest. I mean, yeah, you're right. We're seeing these photons.
I do all the time. I must be smoking something, because I think so about it all the time.
But it's kind of in the framework of relativity. This is how we're experiencing the universe, how we see the planets from the star and the photon as they are hitting Earth right now. But you're right. I mean, there has been 4 years elapsed since those photons left the system, and the planet's probably gone through more than an orbit.
Right.
So that's one thing that we're really trying to push hard for right now, is to confirm this planet candidate through its orbital motion. So it's kind of fun thinking about it's already completed this motion that we're trying to see, but we're just waiting for those photons to stream through the universe.
You say you're looking at a computer screen, but what are you looking at? Are you looking at numbers? Are you looking at pictures? Are you looking at a bunch of fuzzy dots? What are you looking at?
Pictures, yeah. So, yes, technically you would call this high contrast imaging. So we're trying to just see a point of light that's a million times or more fainter than the bright star at the center of the image.
That's amazing. And kind of pick that out of all the stuff that's going on and coming at you, you try to pick that out of that array of light that's coming towards you. That's amazing.
It's challenging, but yeah, it's really fun actually having images to work with instead of just numbers.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with Wonder this morning at the University of Arizona with astronomer Dr. Kevin Wagner, the NASA Hubble Sagan Fellow at the Assistant Research Professor at the Stewart Observatory at the University of Arizona. This segment is sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant at Historic 4th Avenue in Hughes Federal Credit Union. You're listening to KVOI, and this is Wonder on The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice, and I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley. On Fridays, we talk about the good things happening at the University of Arizona, and we call it Wonder. It's sponsored by Hughes Federal Credit Union and Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue. Speaking of Caruso's fine Italian restaurant on 4th Avenue, Dr. Wagner, that's for you to take your family to Caruso's and have a little something-something.
I love Caruso's.
That's great. Our guest for Wonder from the University of Arizona is Dr. Kevin Wagner, the NASA Hubble Sagan Fellow and Assistant Research Professor at Stewart Observatory at the University of Arizona. So we were talking about you're looking at data and seeing pictures of what you might call a possible planet out at Alpha Centauri. And how has people who have looked up into the southern sky and looked at Alpha Centauri haven't been able to see the detail that you can see, but you're able with the Webb telescope be able to see that the amazing technical ability of that telescope is amazing, isn't it?
Oh yes, even better than we expected it to be.
Yeah, and it's out beyond the Earth's atmosphere, so it's not picking up the whatever you would call it, the distortion that would happen looking through the Earth's atmosphere. So it kind of has a clear picture, and so.
That's right.
The detail is what's getting you the ability to look through that light and be able to see those motions that you might now detect as a planet, right?
That's right. It's the lack of atmosphere that's distorting the light. If we were doing that from these observations from the ground, we would have to correct for that with a fast, controllable mirror. But equally important is that the Webb telescope is cold. So it has a sun shield that prevents solar photons from hitting it. So it's just looking at the radiation blanket of space and is quite cold, which is important because what we're actually seeing in these images are heat signatures of the planet. So Webb looks in the thermal infrared, and objects that are as warm as we are, as warm as habitable planets, glow quite brightly in the infrared. It's a way of sort of minimizing the contrast between the star and the planet. If we were looking at reflected light from the planet at visible wavelengths that we could see, the planet would be about 10 billion times fainter than its star.
Yeah, it'd almost be obliterated by the light of the star, and you wouldn't really be able to, I mean, you would be able to see it maybe, but it would be tough to see.
But in the infrared, it's not 10 billion. It's more like a million times fainter.
Still tough to see, but you can still see it, which makes it a little bit. So, you know, what excites you most about the prospect of exploring a potential candidate planet and in terms of, you know, its atmosphere, its rings, its potential moons? What excites you as you're looking at this data and saying this could be a planetary system, could be a gas planet with moons around it itself and have its own little ecosystem happening right there? What's exciting about that for you?
Oh, all of it, particularly the moons. Of course, I'm interested in exoplanet atmospheres and planetary atmospheres generally, and what's going on actually physically with this planet itself. But the moons really, I think, are what's more important here. And this system itself is just so important for humanity, it being the closest star system to the sun. It's still quite a far ways away and not something that we can travel to now, but something that we can envision sending probes to in the not too distant future.
How do you that you have that excitement? How do you communicate that excitement about finding a planet right next door in our backyard? It's right there. It's the closest star system to us, without overstating the certainty that there is something there. You think it's there. You're pretty sure it's there. You're pretty sure the data is giving you that, but we don't know for sure. And how do you balance between the excitement of the possibilities and the, what the data is showing, but then the other, like, could be a dust cloud, you know? So how do you
right.
mitigate
that? So I try
that?
To communicate the exciting aspects and keep the excitement contained and balanced by the uncertainty. And I think it's very important to consider uncertainties in everything, especially in science and exploring planets around nearby stars. So really what we have here are two detections of a possible planet on opposite sides of the star. So that's what really rules out that this may be a dust cloud that we'll just see on one side. But with those two points of light that are on opposite sides of the star, we can say it's consistent with an orbit. Now, that's not a very strong statement because it's quite easy to fit any two points with an orbit. So if we get a third point, then that'll really nail it down.
Right. So you're young. And you're a 5-year into this doctoral thing. What's one thing that's full of wonder at the University of Arizona for you?
I have to say the students. I'm just blown away every day by the students. I've been working on this for a decade, and I have my own methods, and I think that I know how to do something the best way possible. And routinely, my students are surprising me with new, creative, innovative ideas, just pulling out these faint points of light next to bright stars in better and better ways.
That's great. Thanks to Dr. Kevin Wagner from the Stewart Observatory at the University of Arizona. This is Wonder, where we talk about the good things at the University of Arizona, and you're listening to The Morning Voice. We'll be back next Friday with more. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Dr. Ackerley.